morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you, my friends. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. On this Wednesday, November 11th, it is Veterans Day, and I just want to say happy Veterans Day to all the men and women who have put their lives on the line for us to have the freedom. Thank you for your service. I especially want to thank my very special veterans in my life. Terry, thank you for your service, honey. I appreciate your dedication to this country. I want to thank my dad, who served in the Army. In fact, he was drafted into the Army. And I want to thank my grandparents, my mom's mom and dad, who have gone to be with the Lord many, many years ago. In fact, I was a teenager, but they both served and met in the Navy. And so this is a very special day. And I ran across this song, and it's really pretty amazing. It's Lee Greenwood, and he Across the Pass with U.S. Army Chorus. This was shared by Trust Vets. And I want to share it with you because I love this song.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again, just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, oh, and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, time we stand and say, and I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.
Wonderful way to start a show this morning. Again, an impromptu performance by Lee Greenwood and the U.S. Army Chorus ran into each other in a hallway in 2015 and just started singing. And of course, I remember seeing Lee Greenwood live at the inauguration of President Trump when he was inaugurated there at the Lincoln Memorial. And that was an incredible experience as well. So glad to have you a part of the show this morning. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. And as you would have it, you know, our world really isn't that small after all. You know that I'm from Oregon, and I went to high school here, and then I lived in South Dakota for many years. And for the last few years before moving here to back to Oregon, I lived in the wonderful state of Arkansas. And I just love Arkansas. It's like home away from home. I love Oregon. I love South Dakota. But there is something really special and rich about Arkansas and about living in the South. And so I want to share with you something that I ran into yesterday, and I thought it was so moving. When we talk about Veterans Day and honoring those who have served, who've given their time, who have served with their lives, put their lives on their line, and really want to impact our freedom and hold fast to the freedoms and the liberty, and they pledge their lives to serve you and I. There's no words that can accurately describe that kind of sacrifice and willingness. And certainly to take a day is pretty important, but really it is a lifestyle of thanks to these veterans who've put their time, treasure, and talent to protecting our liberties. And so I was just strolling on social media, as I do in the afternoon, and I come across this story that impacted me. And it was shared by a gentleman who has impacted my life greatly. His name is Dave Crockett, and he lives in the Dallas area. And he's a mentor to me. He's like, when I was a teenager, he was almost like a youth pastor in my life. Super cool. He has served, and his son both served in the Navy, so they're veterans, and shared this story on his timeline. I'm going to share this with you. In September of 2005, on the first day of school, Martha, a history teacher at Robinson High School in Little Rock, did something not to be forgotten. On the first day of school, with the permission of the school superintendent, the principal building supervisor, she removed all the desks in the classroom. When the first period kids entered into the room, they discovered there were no desks. "Where are the desks?" She replied, "You can't have a desk until you tell me how you earn the right to sit at a desk." That's kind of interesting. And so the story goes on, but even more interesting is I have the opportunity to bring Martha on the air live with us this morning from Arkansas. Hello, Martha. Can you tell us the rest of the story?
Thank you. Good morning so much. I'm so happy and thrilled and honored to be with you. You know, I had several. It's Arkansas state law that the Pledge of Allegiance be said every morning in schools. And I had some teachers who told me they were having trouble getting kids to stand up. So I thought about it over the summer, and I thought, you know, we're guaranteed a free public education, but we're not guaranteed a chair. So I took the chairs out of the classroom. And as the kids came in and were our chairs, they came back with, well, how do we earn them? And I told them they had to figure it out. So then we looked at good behavior. And I said, nope. Good grades, nope. A few bribe offers came in there. And I said, nope, that won't work either. So as the day went along, they kept wondering, how do we earn our chairs? And at the very end of the day, I told them there was probably about a minute before the final bell would ring. And they looked at me, and they said, how do we earn them? And I looked up at the door in my classroom, and I slowly nodded. And the door opened, and in filed a group of veterans, each carrying a chair.
Yes.
And I told those kids with tears pouring down my cheeks, you don't have to earn your desk. These men have done it for you.
Ugh. Powerful. And what was their response?
I don't think there was a dry eye in the classroom. And I am so proud to tell you that every student went to every veteran and thanked them and hugged them and realized we have been given a gift far greater than we ever deserve in this country.
Yes, yes, indeed. And you continue to find ways in your life to honor veterans. Talk to me a little bit about why this is so a passion of yours, even as you, this morning, you have a plan today, right, with veterans.
Exactly. I am the department president for the VFW Auxiliary of Arkansas. And I'm so honored to share that honor with other presidents across the states of the United States, and we work very hard to bring attention to our veterans. today we're going in and making a luncheon for our veterans at VFW Post 9095 in Little Rock, Arkansas. And we want to share with them our love and our honor and our respect for them.
Oh, that's incredible. And this day and age, it is so much history. There's so much history in wars past, and we need to learn from them. And as we're in this time in our country right now, what a great reminder to honor our veterans. Don't let them be forgotten, correct?
Never. My dad was a World War II veteran. He was the 24th American captured by the Germans. And spent the entirety of the war in POW camp.
Incredible. What a history right there. And it affected his life and your life as well. And so here we are. We have this Arkansas connection. And what a small world it really is. And I'm so very thankful that you took the time to be on the air. And this story has inspired a multitude of people, and it's still all these years later being passed along on social media. How many times have you been called to be on the radio like this?
Oh, I've done 15 or 20 different radio interviews across the country. I've traveled across the country as a guest speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing, though, that the most, I taught history for 41 years, and sharing with those students these things that we need to know as Americans.
Yes.
We need to appreciate and we need to honor.
So right now in Arkansas, in the classroom, they're still doing the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes, they are. In fact, our national president, Sandy Onsweater, from Michigan of the VFW Auxiliary, visited Arkansas. And we went back to the high school where the story took place. And we led the Pledge of Allegiance two different mornings for the students there to share with them.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Well, I am so very thankful for you, Martha, and for your willingness to come on the air with us and meet Oregonians and tell your wonderful story.
Honor.
Oh, yes. And I look forward to coming back to Arkansas, coming back home there and having a cup of coffee. Let's connect when we get back there, okay?
That would be wonderful. Thank you so much. And everyone, remember to say thank you to our veterans today.
Thank you so much, Martha. You have a God bless day, okay? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, and we're having a wonderful morning this morning, honoring our veterans and reminding them how very important it is that, reminding you and I how very important it is to give honor where honor is due. And certainly that song that I played this morning and Martha's story, I'm going to share it on our Facebook page at KSLM Radio so that you can share it on your social media as well and bring inspiration and bring a reminder to all that you, all your influence of how important it is. Our history is important, and certainly honoring our loved ones and those that have served is so very important. We're going to continue on this morning. Happy Veterans Day. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann, and we'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. So glad to have you along on this Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day to you. Thank you for tuning in today. And we're continuing to take phone calls this morning. And on the line with me, I think, is my good friend, Lieutenant Colonel Pat Castle. Are you on the line with me this morning?
I am. And a God morning and a salute.
Salute to you, my friend. You, besides my sweetheart and my dad serving and my grandparents serving, you're my next favorite veteran.
That's not bad. That's a bronze medal. I'll take it.
Oh, my friend, I had you on my heart this morning, and I thought, well, I wonder if he'll come on the air with me and talk about a little bit. You know, you've been now retired from service for a few years, but you're active duty on the pro-life front. And talk to us a little bit about, reflecting back as a veteran now, because you were Lieutenant Colonel You had an incredible career. Talk to us a little bit about kind of how your promotion through the ranks and how you had favor and even how we connected back in the day. It's already been like 8 years ago that we met.
Yeah.
Tell your story to our audience.
Well, the best news is we're Americans.
Yes.
And praise God for all those Americans that gave the ultimate sacrifice or sacrificed a lot so that we have the most cherished gift, and that is religious freedom. I mean, to think that we cherish our ability to worship God even over our very lives, because with the ability to worship God, we know our life is eternal. So praise God this morning, Stacy, that we're in America and we still have the freedom to worship.
Yes.
And so when I think about that journey to your question through my military service, that space was there, even in uniform. Now, granted, I had to learn, you know, how to be a superhero for Christ, i.e. not identify myself when I come down and speak with you at the Pregnancy Help Center. I couldn't do it, you know, on behalf of the United States Air Force, but I could transition from Lieutenant Colonel Castle to Christian Pat Castle, and our country afforded that and still allows that space.
Mm-hmm.
And so this separation of church and state, some people look at it completely wrong. Matter of fact, I'd even go as far as say as most people, and this is a good reminder on Veterans Day, that separation of church and state is not to keep a church out of the state, but to keep the state out of church.
Yes.
I mean, for goodness sakes, the founding fathers, look at all the monuments in Washington, D.C. They have Bible verses on all of them. Look at the verbiage of inalienable God-given rights in our declaration of, you know, life and liberty. So we see God's fingerprints all over our Constitution, our declaration, our monuments from the beginning of our country. And so I think when you ask about that journey through being a veteran, I just thank God most. And I thank all of those that have served our country for the ability to live out our faith, even in uniform still. So, yeah, and then you and I collided, of course, with us both living out our faith and service. She's serving as the executive director to a pregnancy help center, and then you becoming the honorary commander to my medical squadron in Rapid City, South Dakota at Ellsworth Air Force Base, the home of the B-1 bomber. And then, you know, me becoming the board chairman for you at the, it was just an exchange of gifts. God knows what he's doing. I mean, he multiplied our efforts and we were able to bless so many in our community.
It's a great warm up. And what's beautiful about our friendship over the years and our family's friendship is that we're continuing to do the same kind of work wherever we're sent. And that's kind of the work of being a soldier, right? And being ready and equipped and ready wherever we're at. And what I love about your story is when 9/11 happened, that was pretty intense for you and your family, your young family. You were like biochemical warfare. I don't even know if I'm saying it right. And you were like the closest to what was happening. Talk to us a little bit about that, because I don't think being a military family, I don't think those of us that have never served or had family members directly serving, we don't have a clue what that's like.
Oh my goodness. So, you know, for one, I remember that we had the decision at that point in our military journey to continue serving and go to Turkey. That was our next assignment, or my commitment was up and we could have stepped out of the service into civilian life and serving as a civilian in some capacity, some corporation, some, you know, ministry. Certainly that would have happened. But I remember this notion, Stacy, when Angie and I talked, and I just said, you know, I feel like if we step out of service to our country right now, that we will avoid doing exactly what we said we'd do. And that was that we'd allow our country to train and equip us so that we could serve our country even in harm's way. So I knew in my gut, Stacy, that this was going to be a culmination of all the training and education that Americans had invested in. And so I thought, wow, you know, I got to make good on that commitment and that investment. So we chose to go to Turkey, didn't have to. And at that time in 2000, remember, it was not like a you know, Beaver Cleaver's neighborhood. I mean, it was, we got hazardous duty pay. Enough said. If you're getting hazardous duty pay, you are in a spicy neighborhood of the world. And so that neighborhood, of course, is we had Operation Northern Watch going on, which was the babysit Saddam Hussein from gassing the Kurds in the north. That was our mission at Angel Air Base in Turkey. And then on our watch on 9/11, because we were there from 2002, of course, Osama bin Laden attacked our country. And it just so happened that Angel Air Base was the closest American military unit, because it's a Turkish base. So we were the closest American unit to Osama bin Laden on 9/11. And my duty title that you mentioned was the Weapons of Mass Destruction Defense Officer. So chemical warfare, protection and detection, nuclear detection and protection. And so being on the tip of the spear, as I say, when you're the closest to the front line, it made for some really
some incredible,
calls, in, right?
Yes, some intense times. And,
yeah, intense.
And we're gonna be going to a break here, Pat.
Okay.
I don't know if you can stay on the line through this break or not, but I want to tell you thank you so much for your service. And we're celebrating Veterans Day here at News Talk Radio KSLM, having veterans call in, interact with us this morning, telling your story. And we honor you today. We say thank you and God bless you and your family for the sacrifices of your time, treasure, and talent to stand up for liberty and life here in our great country, United States of America. We'll be back after this. Thank you for tuning in to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hi, I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be hanging out with you on this November 11th, Veterans Day. This is a day we honor all veterans who have served our great nation, including both the living and the fallen. And it's so important to look at the history and look at the past so we know where we're going in the future, that we continue to guard and safeguard and support those who are on the front lines defending our each of our liberties, that we have no idea if we've not served or have anybody in our immediate family that served, the sacrifices that young families make by going and letting their loved ones serve, in a sense, because it is a family decision. And as you were talking, I've got Dr. Pat Castle on the line with me. He is retired from the Air Force, and he and I got to serve together. I was his honorary commander at Ellsworth Air Force Base in our wonderful state of South Dakota, and had an opportunity to serve beside him. And he was the commander of the medical. I don't even remember, Pat, what it was exactly called, but you were in the medical field. And I got to come alongside of you and bring encouragement to the airmen and women serving who were long far away from their families. And you could introduce me, and I could in a sense minister to them. It was such a great partnership. And we had some incredible in the moment opportunities to bring some encouragement to airmen and women. And you were talking before the break about being in Turkey when 9/11 happened and what your role was. But I want you to talk. I want the listeners to know how that impacted your family, your young family when you're there, because I think, again, kind of pulling back the curtain to see the humanity side of things when you're in a crisis.
Yeah, you know, I remember that day. I mean, those that were alive, of course, everyone has a story about 9/11. You think back on where you were, it was that kind of an event where, as Alan Jackson said, the world stopped turning. And for me, I came home that day and knew that we'd be right back to 24-hour ops within hours after we got organized as a military unit. But I embraced my wife, Angie, and I said to her, honey, if we live through this, this is going to be fascinating. And she said, honey, that didn't make me feel any better.
No.
I said, honey, let me try again. We're going to make it through this, and this is going to be a fascinating service for our country. In other words, for me it was, this is that moment to be able to provide in return the investment that America had given, you know, in my education, in my training. And I recognized that moment, the opportunity to serve. And I felt it was a privilege. And so it was, of course, still hard, a lot of uncertainties, knowing that you lived on the closest piece of America in that American unit. You know, we represent America. We're the closest to the enemy. And so you had to deal with that. And of course,
are you there? I think I might have lost him. And so it's really, we're continuing on this morning with our stories, touching base with our veterans, and we're having a little challenge with our phone lines, and maybe we'll get Pat back on the line here. We're going to go to the next phone call. Let's see. Are you there with me, Bob? Are you there this morning?
Yes, I'm here, Stacey.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here, and sad and sorry that we lost Pat Castle, but we'll go ahead and bring you on the line. Bob, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your story in regards to what you're doing as far as community outreach, and you're a veteran as well. Talk to us a little bit about your service and your story, and give us a message of how we continue to honor our veterans.
Oh, thank you, Stacy. Yeah, well, I'm an old school Army veteran. I went in 62 when I was 17 years old. Didn't know what I was going to do after high school. And the opportunity came up to me and another friend of mine stopped by a recruiting store, and they talked me into signing up for 3 years under a buddy system. Back in those days, you had these programs. I was only going to be in for 3 years. I thought it sounded like a good idea, and they said they could give me my own, whatever I wanted to do, and that would be I signed up for the Army Security Agency, and then I went to Fort Devens, and in the middle of my training, I got meningitis. I was in the hospital for a week, and when I got out of my training, I went to a school in Fort Devens, Massachusetts, and I was learning to be how to intercept Morse code. And I wasn't quite fast enough with the typewriter. And so they transferred me over to direction finding. I still had to know Morse code and still had to be able to use a radio. They taught us all the things to do. So after that, I was sent over to Taiwan, which is right across from China. So you can imagine who we were monitoring. It was a very interesting deployment. You know, some of the things I remember over there was November 63, the Kennedy assassination. One of those times that you never forget. You know, back in those days, we didn't have no cell phones, no TVs, none of that kind of stuff. So we got our news via radio, basically. And I remember walking out of the mess hall, and I heard about it at the mess hall. And I said, I looked up and I saw the flag at half mast and realized that had happened.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a very interesting tour of duty. You know, towards the end, towards 64, 65, Vietnam was going on. I know some of the stuff we did with direction finding was not over China, but a little bit further south towards Vietnam. So we were doing a little bit of shots from one of the down island stations to Vietnam. So I guess we were doing some support for them. I felt pretty good about that. An interesting story is in 65-ish, when I was getting ready to get out, I was already an E-5, and they offered me an E-6 and combat pay to go to Vietnam. Well, I didn't know nothing.
Yes.
I didn't follow this stuff too much.
Uh-huh.
And so I was able to do a radio transfer phone call to my mom, and I asked her, you know, what do I do?
Mm.
She says, don't go. So I said, okay, I won't go. I guess that was a decision probably saved my life in some ways. So I got out in 65, and somehow I got lost. I didn't go to any National Guard, nothing. I never heard from them after that. Strange.
Interesting.
But after that, I went to work, I did two jobs where this training I got with the military was quite helpful. I ended up working in computers and worked at the Lawrence Radiation Lab in Livermore, California. And then I went to got a job over in Kwajalein Missile Range as a computer lead operator. That was very interesting in the 1970s. I can just imagine the advances that have happened since 1970 to present military assignments. We were very sophisticated back in the 70s on being able to intercept ballistic missiles and destroy the nuclear warheads back in those days.
Right. Technology that we hold in our hand now used to fill whole rooms, right?
Oh, absolutely. I worked in rooms that were just one computer in it. So, yes, it was back in the day.
Back in the day. Yes.
I guess one fortunate thing is when I got out, I didn't even think about it, VA or anything like that. It wasn't until, I think, 98 when I had moved to Kauai that somebody mentioned to me that I was unemployed, homeless, and all that kind of stuff. And they mentioned the VA to me, so I went, to check, see what I could get out, what I could do. And discovered that I was kind of grandfathered in because I was in the Vietnam era.
Yes.
So from 97 on, VA has been my doctor.
And what a great benefit that is. I know for my dad as well, because he was drafted into Vietnam and into the Army. I was born in the Army. My father also receives benefits from the VA, so it's a great resource for individuals. Now, I want to ask you, in the time that we have remaining, having served like you did, how has that impacted you to support other veterans and certainly fight for our liberties here in Oregon and across the country in a time such as we're living in right now?
Well, I haven't really been that involved. I thought about it a few times, but by the time I got, over here to Oregon, that was in 2005, I was basically retired. So I really didn't get involved in too much of that. The VA, I'm glad now they have the CHOICE program. I used it when it was first put in place, temporary. And then again, I used it again in 2018 for open heart surgery, so I was quite excited that option was available. I've been to a few veteran events locally in Cottage Grove, but other than that, I really haven't done a lot of community support.
Well, I appreciate your service, Bob. Can you stay on the line with me? I've got a few more questions when we come back after this break.
Certainly.
All right, you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Veterans Day. We'll be back after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. So glad to have you on the listening and on the air with me. Today is Bob. And Bob, thank you so much for telling us a little bit about your story. And Bob, the question I have for you, and maybe you can share with your listeners. You know, you talked about you haven't been real active or involved, but I know that you're leading a cause to get people engaged in the political process and aware of how important, no matter what you're, if you're a Republican or a Democrat or non-affiliated, how important it is to stand up and for our country. Talk to us a little bit about the organization and what you're up to these days.
Oh, goodness. What are we up to these days? I guess the election fraud is kind of on the top of the list of what we're looking at now. Of course, I'm a Trump supporter. I've always kind of had this feeling that Trump would win the election. And seeing what has gone on with the election process, with the mail-in voting, has just been very disheartening. That's kind of where I'm at. We try to look. I have mainly my groups are Oregon centralized, so we kind of watch out for what's happening in the Oregon process. Of course, I think right now my focus has been on what's going on with the national election.
Mm-hmm.
I've been following some of the local races a little bit, but. Again, my focus has been on the national election right now.
Well, Bob, I want to say thank you for your service to our country. Thank you for continuing to engage people in the process and standing for our country. And I hope you have a super day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in and being a part of the show this morning. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, and we're continuing the conversation this morning. And on the line with me is my sister from another mother, Diana. How are you this morning?
I am good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Now, Diana is my friend with a honky-tonk bar and grill. You've heard me talk about that, friends, before. It's one of our favorite places to go. And, Diana, you and your husband, I'm going to bring you in on this on a little personal note. You've done the whole service thing. Your hubby was in the Coast Guard. Talk to us a little bit about that.
22 years of it, and what a wonderful experience it was, not just for him, if I can talk for him, but for me too, as the spouse who got to go to all these amazing places and meet and work with all these amazing people that we never would have. There is sacrifice with our families back home, but over and over, we knew what we were getting into, and we absolutely loved it. Absolutely.
Well, and I know that
wonderful time.
Because of who you are as a person and your desire to bring honor and to serve and add value to people's lives, there at the Honky Tonk, you're very patriotic and very focused on outreach to our veterans. Talk to us a little bit about something going on at the Honky Tonk today, a special for veterans.
Well, we absolutely love our veterans and love everybody that served our country, and why wouldn't we? And so today we want to honor with a meal. We've got a soup and sandwich and non-alcoholic beverage combo that we would love to be able to feed to the people who sacrificed a good portion of their lives and their family times to say thank you. We absolutely want to see the veterans come in. We want to be known as that place where they can come. Bring a picture. We have a veterans wall. We have a military wall, a first responders wall. We'd love to have a picture of everyone to put up on our wall so that we can honor them on a daily basis.
That's outstanding. I love that idea. And certainly your hours there. What's your hours today?
Well, we are from 11 to 10 p.m. at night, like every other restaurant and bar in Oregon right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we will be here all day with our smiles on and our gratitude.
Well, that's awesome. I certainly appreciate you calling in this morning, giving us an update. And thank you again, your family, for serving, giving your time, talent, and treasure to defend our liberties. When we think about the climate that we're in right now, particularly in Oregon with all of these new mandates coming down the pike, you know, what kind of message do you have of encouragement to each and every one of us who's walking into a new two-week period of, what do they call it, a pause? What do you have to say to that?
Keep going. Keep living your life. Do not buy into the fear. We want everybody to be safe. We want everybody to be healthy. So do what you can to keep everybody safe and healthy. But at the same time, don't stop living. There's enough of that going on. I cannot wait to embrace everybody that walks through the doors on a daily basis, that want to continue their lives and not just live at home and wonder what is going on next.
Mm. Such a good word.
It doesn't serve us to dwell on that at all.
And not to be in fear, but to take the information and live in the fact, and knowing that we two together can get through this, right?
Absolutely, Stacey. And we appreciate you for bringing us those messages every day. Every day, I appreciate that.
It's so fun when I see her and you start singing the song, the good morning song, when we see one another. Yes, thank you, Diana, for what you all are doing there at the Honky Tonk Bar and Grill to honor our veterans today. And certainly, thank you for being an amazing listener. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you for being an amazing family member here at the Honky Tonk. We appreciate
it. Awesome. Have a great day.
You have a good day.
You bet. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, having a wonderful morning, honoring our veterans. And certainly it's important to look for ways that we can connect and we can honor those that have served. And I know it's... I know when I think about this generation that we're looking at, and we're looking at these young folks who are in school, and I'm concerned that they're not getting the history. They're not getting the accurate history, and that therefore they're not understanding the sacrifice. They're not understanding what people have gone through. You know, when I think of my dad and my mom in high school back in the 60s, and when Vietnam War was going on and my dad got that call, he got drafted into the military. Can you imagine if that was how it was right now? I remember how I felt when I was pregnant with my son Dylan 30 years ago when Desert Storm happened, and just how that upended me, and watching the video of the storm, Desert Storm, and the war on TV. And I believe that was probably one of the first live as they could actually capture war as it was happening. And that war was already 30 years ago. And it's interesting because 102 years ago was World War I. And so we were losing some of this history, at least through the message and through the stories of those who can tell us their story. And I think that's so important. And we start getting removed from that. It's very hard for kids these days to understand the sacrifice that these folks have given, and certainly the families as well. And I know my kids' grandfather, through their dad, their grandfather, great-grandfather, was lost in World War II. And so that was legacy lost, too. And so many, many families have lost loved ones for their service. And so it's important that we take a day and pause and reflect and say thank you. But it's important that we live this out an honoring way to our veterans every single day. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, continuing the conversation into the next hour. We're taking time out to honor our veterans. Thank you for being a part of the morning show this morning. We've got some exciting things next hour to talk about. Be sure to keep tuning in. For now, we're going to go to a break and to the top of the hour. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, over, under, around, or through, no matter what's in our way. Yep, we're overcomers. We'll be back after this.
And thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Oh, good morning, my friends. Thank you for tuning in. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. We're having a great morning honoring our veterans today. If you're a veteran, If you're currently serving or you have a family member that's serving, thank you so very much. I certainly appreciate you and your time, treasure, and talent dedicated to standing strong for our liberties that we enjoy so freely here right now as American citizens. And it's a good day to take a pause and talk about the stories and remember and be reminded how important it is to honor those that do these things for us. And here in Salem, you know, we've had it seems like this election cycle, and because of the mandates and the closing up of our communities, we've had just an interesting year. I don't know, there's all kinds of words that can describe it, but we have such a hunger to be together, and yet right now, because of what they're calling a rise in the numbers, they're telling us again that we must kind of be on this pause time. And I think it's a good time for us to be reminded that elections have consequences. I know I say that a lot, and I keep hitting that drum, but they do. And we know, we've talked about this too, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, right? And so we as citizens, and the power is in the people, and it's important that we be reminded of these stories and look at the courage and the grit that so many have had in the past to fight on foreign lands some of these battles so that we don't have to fight them here at home. And lo and behold, we're having things going on right now that never in our history we've had to walk through. And so what are we going to do about it, right? So we're going to continue the conversation, get into some stories this hour, and certainly by the end of this morning, we're going to have some action steps that we can take even this weekend on how we can all get involved in being soldiers and standing for liberty in our communities. Currently, right now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the weather forecast. It's 40 degrees right now, and today the temperature will get up to 51, partly cloudy sky. So if you're a motorcycle enthusiast like me, you may be able to get some motorcycle riding in today, because the next few weeks, or a few days actually, up through a whole week, it's going to be rainy every day. So I don't think, unless you have good rain gear, you'll be hopping on that motorcycle maybe too soon. Oh, but we're continuing the conversation this morning, and I found this online. I thought it was really good. And it ties into where we're going with the conversation next. This is from Franklin Graham, and he says, "Today we honor all of our military veterans who have served to defend the freedoms of this nation and the blood that has been shed for us and for future generations. We owe them a great debt. It seems our nation is under attack from within, from socialists who want to bring anarchy to our streets. The hard-won freedoms that we have enjoyed in America are very much at stake. Pray for the president, our commander-in-chief, as he leads the nation during these turbulent times, that God would give him wisdom, grace, and understanding for times such as these." And that comes from Franklin Graham. And what an incredible reminder that it is time to pay our respects, to be in prayer, and certainly uphold our president, who is indeed our commander-in-chief. In the studio, we've had folks on the line last hour and people calling in the studio with me. I'm really excited to meet my newest friend, Brad. Thank you for joining me this morning. How are you today?
Oh, very well. Thank you. It's good to be here.
How are the roads coming in today? I always have people driving in give us a road report.
Very clear. Right. Yeah, very nice. A little bit of sunshine out there.
Yay. Good fall day, huh?
Yes, indeed.
Yes. Well, Brad, I'm so glad you connected with me yesterday on the phone and to find out a little bit about your military background. And you and I were talking kind of off the air before we got started this morning. Just kind of a generational thing. You know, when we think about our veterans and we think about the service, you and I both were born to parents that were in service at the time. Share with our audience a little bit of your perspective about, like, when you were born and what was going on in the world and what you lived through to where we're at today. Let's talk about that.
Well, everybody is born to their generation, obviously, and you just kind of take it for granted. But with the hindsight of age, you start looking back and going, wow, I've really lived through some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in 1961, April of 1961, which is just prior to the wall going up. So The Great Berlin Wall is all I ever knew until it came down in 89, as you pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
So I was reflecting on what the norm is for this new generation of millennials who were born, you know, right at 9/11. All they've ever known is the current conflict, the longest running conflict in American history.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was kind of an interesting juxtaposition.
Yeah, I agree. And you said you were born in Germany.
Stuttgart, on base, Bad Cannstatt, land of Porsche.
Mm-hmm. And so that does give you perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, certainly. Yes, it does.
And I remember in 89 when the wall came down, and I remember President Reagan getting shot, you know, in grade school, and just the Cold War and all of that as well. Even though I'm a few years younger than you, I kind of get that, and just that whole perspective. And then you think about 9/11 hitting, and we had someone on last hour who was the closest American base to what was going on in the conflict and the biochemical warfare and all of that, Dr. Pat Cass on his family in the Air Force. Certainly, you know, this conflict that's been going on, you and I talked off air too a little bit about under President Trump. When you look at all the presidents in the past and all the wars that were started under each president, and it comes to President Trump, and it's like big old zero. There's nothing. He's the president who's brought peace.
Yes.
And I remember sharing something like that on social media, and someone would say, "Well, what about Afghanistan? We're still in Afghanistan." Hence, the conflict continuing, right? Well, that started under Bush because of 9/11 and all of that. And President Trump's worked really hard to pull out of those things, right?
If I could point something out mm-hmm. about how long we've been in Afghanistan, people tend to forget because history is unfortunately no longer taught. We were in Japan post-World War II for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't because there was still war going on. It's just because we were trying to rebuild it, obviously. But by and large, you know, that's not unusual to be in a country long after the conflict is, and in this case, is winding down. That, mm-hmm. That's not as unusual as people make it out to
right,
be.
Right, right.
And I'd also tag on to what you were just saying about him being, you know, the president of peace. Really, Middle East peace accords?
Mm-hmm.
Who thought we'd ever see that in our lifetime?
Right.
That's just stunning.
Right. And you think about what he's accomplished in 3.5 years, President Trump, under such steep persecution and accusation and lies and trying to every side, every angle, the man has not had any time. No wonder he won't want to go and play a round of golf mm-hmm. so he can mm-hmm. kind of think straight, right? So I am excited to have you in the studio today. Talk to us a little bit about your military service, what you have done, and tell me some of your story.
Sure. Well, I had the privilege of serving under Reagan. That was my commander-in-chief, and I was stationed at Point Magoo down in California, Pacific Missile Test Center, which coincidentally was the base that Reagan would fly into with Air Force One to mm-hmm. go up to his ranch in the hills. So every now and then we'd see Air Force One parked out there on the tarmac, and roads are blocked off and security was tight. And so that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That was a real interesting honor there. I was simply an aviation electronics technician. I worked on A-7B Corsair Vietnam era fighter jets. Did a short tour on the USS Carl Vinson, the CVN-70. There's an experience.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Working some stories there, huh?
Oh, working the flight deck.
Yeah.
Yep. Night ops, yep. Pretty exciting stuff.
I always, when I watch the movies of the landing on the deck of the vessels out mm-hmm. to sea, it just is, I'm in awe, you know, let alone, I mean, I have getting my car parked straight in a parking space is a lot of chore for me sometimes to get those planes landed or those.
It's literally a controlled crash.
Incredible.
That's what it is.
Wow.
One of my duties on the carrier was sitting in the ready room monitoring three different angles of the approach and the landing and the run out of aircraft as they would touch down on the carrier.
Wow.
And for a young guy in the military, in the Navy, being sat down at that duty for the first time and just being given a basic rundown, here's what you're going to see, here's what you got to report, so on and so on, and seeing that for the first time, I took my breath away the first time I saw that thing coming at me, even in the monitor, because mm-hmm. I knew it was only like 2 or 3 decks above me.
Oh, wow.
So when you hear it touch down, it shakes the boat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's something. It's something.
It's an experience. You a full body experience,
very full
right?
body
all
experience.
Of your senses and
yes.
adrenaline rushing and all of that.
And to tag off of that, when my berthing space was very forward in the ship,
mm-hmm.
3 decks underneath the catapult.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. When you hear that thing fire a bird off the deck,
mm-hmm.
It's like a roar of a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a ram, you know, that's part of the mechanism that shoots these things off the deck, mm-hmm. and it has to be stopped at some point at the end of its run out, and it hits this giant bumper. And when it hits it, when you're that far forward in the ship, it feels like it's going to tear the bow of the ship off. It hits so hard.
Incredible. Wow.
And I went down into that cat room one time watching those guys work those steam cats,
mm-hmm.
and that's a little slice of hell on earth.
Mm.
I mean, it's just an actual Turkish bath in there 24/7.
Pretty intense, isn't
it?
It
is.
We have no idea.
No.
And they rotate. They do how many hours of shift, and then they get a little bit of sleep, and then they do it again.
My understanding is it's 12 on, 12 off, but
incredible.
I don't know. That was, you know, like 1,000 years ago.
And on a ship, are you really off, you know?
No.
I mean, there's
no
really,
one's ever
you're
really off.
Yeah, so on game, you know?
Yeah, you don't
yeah.
have anywhere to go. You're
yes.
not, you know, taking off to go play golf.
Incredible. So you serve from when to when?
80 to 84.
Okay. And so then you get out, and what has been your work since?
Well, I tried getting into technology for a while, and mm-hmm. honestly, it just didn't really work for me. I mm-hmm. mean, it was fun to do that in the Navy,
mm-hmm.
But I just decided I didn't want to be indoors. I just
yeah.
didn't want to be indoors, so yeah. I got into construction. It's what my family's always done,
awesome.
And I just love construction. I've been a construction contractor for 30 years, and I'll probably be one until the day I die.
That's awesome. We had a gal in last week, Julie Davis, who's with Women in Construction,
mm-hmm.
that organization, and heard a little bit about that. What kind of constructing do you do?
Oh, I've done all kinds. I was a union journeyman carpenter for 10 years, mm-hmm. so I built everything from structures out at Intel to schools, hotels, Burger Kings, whatever, you know,
yep.
it didn't matter, but whatever they told us to do.
Right.
And then I started out in high-end finish work in the Sylvan Hills, cabinet making, cabinet installation, you name it. I've done it. Anything from dirt to the shingles and everything in between.
You've got all those skills.
Oh, yeah. Mostly yep. I focus now on residential. I like
awesome.
Residential work, custom
awesome.
Work.
And do you have your own business?
Yes, I do.
Oh, and what is that?
Gordon Morrison General Contracting.
Awesome. Awesome. And so it brings you close to here. You get to come throughout all of the valley working
oh, yes.
Contracts
oh, yes.
and doing business. That's fantastic. Do you have employees?
I have a partner that I work
a
with.
A partner
yes.
that mm-hmm. you work with? So it keeps you really busy, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes, yes, it does. Yes, it
We're
does.
Enjoying the conversation this morning. Thank you for tuning in to Reliable News Talk Radio. We're going to continue after this. Honoring our veterans today, thank you for those of you that have served and for the families that have supported those who serve. We honor you today. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. This Wednesday, November 11th, we're so glad to have you tuning in. And I want to remind you that we put these broadcasts on a podcast on our website at kslm.news and usually get them produced by the early afternoon. And you can go and grab those links and certainly share them with your friends and family and just all the things that we can do to honor our veterans. In fact, next week, I believe I'm going to bring someone in on the air. I haven't nailed down the exact date yet, but the Capital City Republican women were to have a luncheon or a dinner tomorrow night because of the new mandate from Governor Brown. They've decided to cancel that, and they were going to have a gentleman in talking about veterans issues and how to reach out and some of the support services, especially those that are at risk of suicide. And this is a real concern for many communities across the country on how do we adequately help and bring resources and encouragement to those that have served, because they've certainly, many of them have been affected by war. And it affects their whole psychological, physical, and emotional, all of those things. And it's important that we build some awareness. And it's not just something we can say, hey, get over it. you know, move on. It's something that if you work in the field, as I have, in crisis intervention and working in social work and counseling, you know that all of us are affected by trauma in one way or another. And depending on what we've been exposed to, it does move on ahead with us. And we have to have tools in our toolbox to move accordingly. And so we're going to have a wonderful conversation at some point next week on that. And as we talk about Veterans Day, and in our lives and our liberty and what we're doing, it's fun to be able to touch base with people and hear their story. And in the studio with me is Brad Morrison. And Brad, I'm so glad you're here telling us your story. And you said you were born in Germany and your dad was in the Army and you were in the Navy. Talk to us a little bit about how did you end up in Oregon?
Well, of course, you know, as most military families go, you travel a lot. And mm-hmm. So, you know, I've lived a lot of places south of a diagonal line drawn from Port Angeles, Washington to Miami, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm accustomed to warmer climates. But, you know, one of the places I loved living the most as a young kid was the Northwest. Because
mm-hmm.
just it appeals to every boy because
yes.
of the hunting and the fishing and the camping. It's just Valhalla for a boy. It
mm-hmm.
really is.
Mm-hmm.
And I attended high school, night high school, while I worked during the days in Miami, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in Florida in the mid to late 70s when it was an absolute festering, well, probably still is, drug haven.
Mm.
And I just decided, yeah, this isn't for me.
Right.
I'd like to survive into adulthood.
Right.
So I left, and after doing some due diligence and deciding on a college, I settled on Mount Hood Community College and just moved up here in 1980.
Nice.
And shortly thereafter, that's when I got saved, was 1980.
Fantastic.
And I decided, you know, I needed a change in my life. I needed some discipline because I was kind of a radical kid. You know, I grew up on the wrong side of things and was into the drug culture I had just left.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, once I got clean of all that, met the Lord, and I just decided, I need some discipline in my life. I'm going to join the military. It's a family tradition, and never looked back.
Wow. So you moved in 1980, you moved to Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
I moved to Oregon in the fall of 79.
Oh.
I was only 10 at the time, but wow, what a crazy
coincidence.
Crazy. And lived here for 10 years until I went off to college myself.
Mm-hmm.
And all these years, now I'm back. And so what an interesting story for you and for me, because I was not raised in a Christian family. My parents went to church. You know, it's like kind of what you do
mm-hmm.
in the mid-states. It's just part of your culture. You know,
sure.
You go to church, but there wasn't really a thriving connection or relationship. And I,
yes.
In 83 is when I found the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember they have things in Vancouver called Jesus Northwest?
Oh, they had yes.
Big old celebrations. And of course, this 1220 signal used to be the KCCS signal. And
yes.
I used to listen to that as a kid. And who would have known all these years later I'd be back on the air under 1220? That's so cool. Small world, right?
Yes, it is.
No coincidence, I don't think. So you're in Oregon, you go into the military, and you ended up coming back to Oregon, huh?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. There was never any doubt I would come back to Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And so you've been involved here in Oregon, and you've been working in business. You've been building a business. You've been an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
You love this state.
Yes, I do.
Right? Do you have family here?
Oh, yes. My children are here.
Mm-hmm. How many children?
Two daughters.
Mm-hmm. And, all right. And so they're here making
yes,
a
yes.
living.
My
and
youngest is a medic in the Guard.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I think she's just about to make sergeant here pretty quick.
Oh,
very proud of
awesome.
That. Yeah, my oldest, she is a real estate dealer here in town.
Okay.
Very, very successful. Very proud of that.
Fantastic.
You know, I could die tomorrow and be a winner.
Yes, because you're very proud of your children and you have someone in the military.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yes, carrying on the tradition.
Continuing the family tradition.
Our
and
family
that's
tradition
often.
Goes back to the Revolution.
Incredible. Wow.
Yeah.
You can follow that line all the way down.
Back to the Battle of Brandywine, yep.
Well, and it's in your lineage, and it will be in the future, to uphold our values and our liberty and our pursuit of happiness and the Constitution, right? So
yes.
When you remember when you enlisted, do you remember what you had to pledge to?
Yes, very vividly. Yes, I do. I
mm-hmm.
swore an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. with my life.
And when you get out and you've served, does that go away?
No, it does not. I have never, ever met one veteran, you know, that served honorably at least, that said, well, that was, you know, for my term of enlistment, you know. No one takes an oath of that gravity and says, yeah, it was worth my life then. It's not really worth my life now that I'm out with, I've got my DD-214. That makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
So no, that's for every, I can't think of a veteran I've ever met that ever renounced that oath, ever.
I think that there is a whole country, both here and those that maybe live other places part of the year or whatever, of veterans who have never left that dedication to our country and to their service. They may be on in years, but that commitment and that strength and that duty is still there, and that resolve and that grit to, we're going to stand strong for what we have in America. And I'm leading into something, friends. After this break, we've got some call to action things coming on right around the corner. In fact, this weekend, an opportunity for us to get engaged. Are you willing to join? I think you are. We'll be back after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM.
Hello, good morning. How you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Thank you to Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group, Willamette Valley, ready to go above and beyond to serve you and your real estate needs. Thank you, Dave and Paige, for being a morning show sponsor. You can get a hold of them for your real estate questions. Maybe you want to upgrade. Maybe you're thinking about investment property right now. Give them a call. They can help you. 503-939-7099. And we're continuing the conversation this morning. It is Veterans Day. And it's good to honor our veterans, but it's even better, as good, I should say, to not honor them with our words and maybe a thank you card or maybe buying them a meal, but also by standing with other patriots for our country. And right now we're walking through an election season that isn't finished. Who would have known that it would have gone on and on and on, you know? And here we are a week and a day after the election. And just this morning, Brad, you pulled up. I've got Brad Morrison in the studio with me. You pulled up just like an alert that popped up that said during this election cycle that there's a decision that has been made. And I believe it was the AP that was that was talking about it. What? Go ahead and share.
Oh, yeah. They're going to hand recount in Georgia.
Yay!
Yeah.
Good news.
That's how contentious and close it's become.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to recount by hand the ballots cast in the state of Georgia, which is going to have a wonderful opportunity for us to look at, relook at the numbers there that's so close between our President Trump and Biden. And so we are in an interesting time, and there is a group of citizens, right? And and you're all individuals, patriots. Some of you are veterans. Some of them are just really strong patriots who want to stand not only for our Oregon, but also for our country. Gathering together this Saturday. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's we got this idea that since there was going to be this demonstration, there is a demonstration in D.C., you know, to resist the steal. And it's going to be huge. We know that. A lot of people from Oregon are going. A lot of people are not able to, you know, foot the bill to go all the way to Washington, D.C. And some people just don't want to fly with a mask on. So we decided, wouldn't it be great if we could do the exact same thing here at our capital and encourage capitals across the country to do the same thing at the exact same day? So that's what we're doing.
Okay, so there's going to be a Stop the Steal rally.
Defeat the Steal.
Or Defeat the Steal.
Yes.
Not just stop it. Defeat the Steal on Saturday, this Saturday, November 14th. Is that the date? Yeah, I think we're looking
at,
yeah, where does the time go? Yes, so Saturday, November 14th, and it starts at what time?
11 o'clock.
At 11 o'clock and goes until when?
Until about 3.
Until about 3. And so we're letting you know, here it is Wednesday. I know it might feel last
minute, but this is how this works.
Mm-hmm.
And it's word of mouth because it's not really organized by any specific group, right?
There's We're a using bunch of every means at our disposal.
Individuals.
Social media,
yes,
radio,
getting
whatever
the word out that at 11 a.m. networking, 11 a.m. on Saturday here at the Capitol. And so if you have friends and family that would like to come in from different directions, alert them now. I know I have been putting some things up on Facebook as well. We'll fill in the details, the more specifics as we go. But this is really important. And you had some things that you wanted to share a little bit, why it's so important to stand for our liberties and stand our ground right now. Go ahead.
Well, there's so much at stake here. I mean, sometimes I think people get so lost in just the chaos that we're experiencing between COVID shutdown and election chaos, and folks just want life to go back to normal, and so it's easy to put your head down and just try to check out and hang out at home. I understand all that. I do. I would love nothing better for life to go back to normal, but, you know, that we're born to our times, and it becomes duty. You know, when tyranny raises its head up, it becomes our duty to rebel against tyranny. That's how this country was founded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and people, I think, don't like that idea because the sound of being rebellious against what seems to be an established norm sounds bad. Well, no, it's not. That's how this country was established.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an old saying, I don't know, it's usually attributed to Edmund Burke, but it actually was coined by, what's the man's name? John Stuart Mill. And he's the one that said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
Yes.
And, you know, when I think about the good men that fought the revolution, I always flash back to Valley Forge. Because I was in the military, and I've had to, you know, be out there on the flight line working in some pretty miserable conditions, you know. But nothing like what it was like having to fight the revolution. Can you imagine rowing across the Delaware in the middle of winter, cracking through the ice? You're undermanned. You're undergunned. You're well outgunned.
Malnourished.
You know, malnourished.
I'm sure.
Freezing. You know, some guys didn't have shoes. Paddling across this thing, and still overcoming the enemy, kicking them out of their barracks and taking over.
That's real grit.
Yeah, that's grit.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm asking people to do is show up on probably a somewhat drizzly Saturday. Yeah, possibly. But we're going to do everything we can to make it not just, you know, a show up and shout type of an event, but we have some spot on speakers like yourself going to be there. And that's going to be a real treat for us.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be food tents. It's going to be, there are going to be some great surprises there that people aren't aware of. Yeah, it's going to be something you don't want to miss. It really is.
And it's still under that banner of, in a sense, a protest. So we're able to get this accomplished under all of the new increased mandates and things that are going on. And so it is important that we show up and that we are counted. And certainly I had an opportunity. I've gone to other rallies in the past and been in the crowd and observed. And it's very, very good. And there's great speakers. It's great encouragement. But moreover, we're showing up and saying not only to our local governor, but also as one state in a bunch of United States saying, hey, we are going to defeat the steal of the vote, that we are standing strong with our president and saying, look, every vote is valuable and it deserves to be counted accurately.
Every legal
vote needs to be counted accurately, and we need to move forward. It's done. We're done with all of this obstruction, right?
Mm-hmm. We're not just focused on the national election either.
Mm-mm.
When we say defeat the steal, we mean defeat all the stealing, particularly here in Oregon, because yes, the presidential elections, the national elections are very important, but our lives are impacted at the local level by local elections the most. And what people most rank and file, you know, at the street level don't know is that the counting in Oregon is still going on.
Did you know that, friends? That they haven't really called officially many of the races.
Secretary of State isn't called. They're still counting. Amy Ryan Corser's race is still being counted.
Yes.
Denise Bowles, her race is still being counted. There's a lot of races out there that are not called. So when you hear on the news, this race is being called for thus and such, you know, called by who?
Yeah, and where is it certified?
Yes.
And those are the things that are important. Now, you had made a comment to me because some people have said, well, on the national level, why isn't the Attorney General getting involved in some of these races? But there's some legal things that need to happen and are at play here, right?
10 days.
10 days after the election.
After the 3rd, yes.
Okay.
Which just coincidentally happens to be the 14th.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And I think even today and tomorrow, we're going to continue to see things kind of unravel, like the Georgia. They're calling Georgia to do a hand recount of of each of the votes, which is pretty incredible. And I think we're going to start seeing some ground, some revelation, at least maybe even in the mainstream media. But I think this is something very important. And I talked about this yesterday. We need to also, here in Oregon, and this maybe this is part of my what I talk about on Saturday at the rally, is how do we hold our media accountable? I am sickened, absolutely sickened by the fact that even in just a regular election, everywhere that I have lived outside of Oregon, it doesn't matter if the candidate is, a party that no one knows. They had a place at the table for debate and recognition, and the media had a responsibility to let the people know who they were.
Yes.
And in this state, especially in our high-profile races of our senators and our House, I did not see the media, even with Zoom and all the technology. Yes, there's COVID, quote-unquote, going on. They have the ability to highlight these candidates, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. And I know Amy Ryan Corser has said she sent press releases, she sent opportunities for the media to come out, and she just fell on deaf ears. And I think there's something that we can do as consumers
absolutely right.
I think there's power again in the people, and we got to wake that up.
I believe they are waking up. I mean, look at the response to Fox News.
Incredible.
Wow, are they losing readership?
And look
at what's happening to Newsmax's readership as a result.
I know. So it
started happening on election night, not the day after, not 2 days after. It had started happening instantaneously.
Yes.
I think they really shot themselves in the foot bad.
Well, and it's interesting because new revelation is coming out, and it may be hearsay. And I even heard, someone else on their news show talking about it, that there's someone of high profile now that's been hired into Fox who used to work for Joe Biden.
Oh.
And so can you see some influence there, perhaps?
Man.
You know, and so I think these are things that we need to keep in perspective, is how do we get our information and how are we recirculating? And it's interesting. I thought this was kind of funny. Every time that they talk about President-elect Joe Biden, why aren't they fact-checking that?
Yes,
on
exactly.
Social media,
exactly.
Right? It's crazy. And so we need to stay involved, active, motivated. We need to show up. So Saturday at the Capitol, we're going to have this wonderful gathering of Oregon citizens who are joining a national effort, including many in D.C., who are going to stand up to say, defeat the steal. We're not going to let this election be stolen from the American people.
Yes, indeed.
And so when we look at the Veterans Day that we're celebrating today, and talking about standing for our liberties, there's something each of us can do today, right?
Yes, there is.
All right. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. We're continuing the conversation after this. You're welcome to call in if you'd like to join in, 503-589-1220. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, together on this Veterans Day. I got Brad Morrison in the studio with me. He is a veteran himself, served in the Navy, and certainly is a child of someone who was in the Army. And I was born in the Army as well. And what do they call us? Army brats, right?
Yeah,
something
much.
Like that. My dad served 3 years, though. And when I was 9 months old, we moved to California. So I didn't live that ongoing like you did, where you moved around and things. But we're having a great discussion this morning. And here's a bit of information that you may or may not know. I think you do know this, Brad, but maybe our listeners. There's a really cool place in Arizona And it's a memorial in Anthem, Arizona. Anthem Veterans Memorial, okay? So listen to this. Once a year at 11:11 a.m., the sun shines perfectly on this memorial. So at precisely at 11:11 a.m. on Veterans Day, November 11th, the sun's rays pass through the five-arm services pillars to form a perfect solar spotlight over a mosaic of the Great Seal of the United States. Wow. The Anthem Veterans Memorial, located in Anthem, Arizona, is a monument dedicated to honoring the service and sacrifice of the United States Armed Forces. The pillar provides a place of honor and reflection for veterans, their family and friends, and those who want to show their respects to those servicemen and women who have and continue to courageously serve the United States. The memorial was designed by Anthem resident Renee Palmer Jones. The five marble pillars represent the five branches of the United States military. They are staggered in size from 17 feet to 6 feet. And ordered in accordance with the Department of Defense prescribed precedents ranging from the United States Army, United States Marine Corps, the United States Navy, the United States Air Force, and the United States Coast Guard. Additionally, the brick pavers within the Circle of Honor are inscribed with the names of over 750 U.S. servicemen and women, symbolizing the support for the armed forces. The pavers represent an unbreakable border. Anthem resident and chief engineer Jim Martin was responsible for aligning the memorial accurately with the sun. I think that's pretty incredible.
That is.
And when I think about memorial, I think about honoring, I think about going to D.C. Have you been to D.C.? And
I've never been, no.
The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and that whole, maybe you watched it on TV.
I've watched the Changing of the Guard.
Mm-hmm,
yes.
The Changing of the Guard. I got the little hairs on my arm just standing up thinking about being there that day. I had a chance when President Trump, I got to go to his inauguration.
Wow.
And a group of us then went over to watch this take place. It was absolutely stunning, and just the quietness of the crowd and the meticulousness of each of the changing of the guard and just everything so strategic and so beautiful. And what an honor.
It's very impacting, even to watch it through its full mm-hmm. course on a video, like on YouTube or something. It's really, it hits you.
And
hard.
And when I still hear, our Pledge of Allegiance, when I hear music, Americana music, you mm-hmm. know, it still just moves me. It's like hearing a good old gospel song, Amazing
yes.
Grace. You know, it just
yes.
stirs within me that pride, that patriotism, our wonderful country countries around the world would love to know someone from America. So many individuals that I've been to India and I've been to Israel and Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I've been to the Bahamas. I've been to Canada and Mexico. You know, I've had a chance to do some traveling. Everybody is intrigued by the American, you know?
Yes.
And what's America like, you know? and it is.
We take it for granted.
We don't realize, as Reagan said, we are that light on
yes.
the hill.
And that light is in peril right now.
And we have an opportunity. We're living at this time.
Mm-hmm.
This time we're living, and what's our legacy going to be?
Well, you know, people feel like history is, you know, this far removed thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the revolution that's ancient history. Can I read something?
Yes.
This was written December 23rd, 1776. It's an excerpt from The Crisis by Thomas Paine.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph.
Hmm.
What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a proper price upon its goods, and it would be a strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated."
Powerful. And that was in the 1800s.
1776. December 23rd, 1776.
And look at this. How accurate that is for this day that we live in.
Yes.
Incredible. And what are we going to do about it?
That's why I read it. That is why I read it.
What are we going to do about it?
Yeah, sure, it's cold out there. Yeah, it might be a little drizzly. I'm not asking people to pick up a musket and charge into the face of British cannons.
Mm-mm.
I'm asking them to show up and rattle the cage of the Capitol and say, hey, more importantly, rattle the cage of our electoral system.
Mm-hmm.
We can discuss a lot of that, you know, during the during our event this Saturday. But suffice it to say, there's a lot of skepticism regarding the integrity of our electoral system with vote by mail in this state.
Right here in Oregon, there's some questions that are being raised when you have the state director of elections who's been there for a while, all of a sudden be fired. Suddenly, he's not there anymore. You know, there's some questions and there's answers. We need answers.
Yes,
and
we really
as
need
citizens,
answers.
We have things that we can do. And I've said on this show, and I will continue to say, you know, it's one thing to point out the trouble that's brewing outside, but it's another thing to be a part of the solution.
Yes.
So what are we going to do about it? Here's an opportunity, friends, for you and I to join together with a whole group of other Oregonian citizens right here in Oregon, and then join in a greater way with other citizens throughout this country who are standing strong and being brave, you know, just to show up. And I think that takes some courage, especially in a blue state or purple state like Oregon anymore. We can do this. It's possible.
It's more important for those of us in these blue states to stand up than it is for folks in those red states to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Because the red states are already red.
Yes.
And
yes.
While it's a great gesture, and I appreciate that, it's really important for those of us on the battlefront, which would be the blue states, to get into the fray. That's where the difference is made.
Let's stop being the silent majority.
Yes. Let's stop being sunshine soldiers and so
let's
forth.
Let's step up and show up on Saturday, starting at 11 a.m. right here at the Salem Capitol. Tell your friends and family. And it is incredible to see the momentum. It's incredible to see when we're side by side moving forward that the people, we still have the power.
It generates electricity. It generates enthusiasm. When you realize you're not alone and you feel the momentum, and then you have actionable steps that you can take after the demonstration is done. It's, you know, it's not just a one and done deal.
Mm-hmm.
There will be things that you can follow up on.
And we'll have action steps. We're going to talk about ways and strategies and action step and what's next beyond Saturday. And so it's important that you be there. We want you to know that you're invited. Again, we'll have information on our Facebook page, KSLM Radio. And of course, an event has been created. We'll have some ads on the radio. Tell your friends and family this Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Salem Capitol. Yes, we're going to gather together and defeat the steal.
Yes.
Thank you, Brad Morrison, for being here today.
Thank you so much.
Such a wonderful day to be with you today. And we're encouraging you to be involved. Thank you so much. Of course, you can email me if you need more information. Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y at KSLM.news. Thank you for tuning in. And again, once more, thank you to our veterans who've given your time, talent, and treasure to serve our country and defend our liberties. Have a wonderful day. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what we're facing today, you and I, we're overcomers.